From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up, you've heard of Black Friday, Cyber Monday, and Giving Tuesday, but what about Red Wednesday? For the past couple of years, on November 28th, that's today, the world has taken time out of the holiday season to stop and remember the millions of persecuted Christians around the world. We do that today. The U.S. Ambassador at Large for Religious Freedom, Sam Brownback, joins us in just a moment. And a bipartisan House bill on prison reform was amended to include a major overhaul of federal sentencing, which has drawn the opposition of the nation's sheriffs and some conservative lawmakers. Senator Tom Cotton of Arkansas is here to explain. And tax reform 2.0 is making its way out of the House. But the question is, will it include fixes that left churches and nonprofits paying millions in taxes? And will Congress formally repeal the Johnson Amendment? We'll talk with Congressman Jody Heiss a little bit later here on Washington Watch. Also, we'll be taking your phone calls a little bit later. Let me remind you, an event coming up in March, it's the Christian Heritage Tour. You can register online at TonyPerkins.com. It's our first ever D.C. Christian Heritage Tour and Summit. It'll be March the 28th through the 31st. It's going to be a great event. We'll have an event at the Museum of the Bible, staying at the Trump Hotel. We'll have briefings, but we'll also have a tour of the city of Washington, D.C., and you will see firsthand America's Christian heritage that the media doesn't want you to see, and the left wants to basically jackhammer, chisel off the buildings in Washington, D.C. To find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com, or go to inspirationcruises.com/FRDC. All right. Let me just quickly give you an update before I bring in Ambassador Brownback. Yesterday was Giving Tuesday. And let me thank all of those of you who made contributions. We had a $100,000 match. Here's where we are, $96,000. We're $4,000 short of meeting our goal of $100,000, and that $100,000 is being matched by some generous contributors. So maybe you could put us over in the next 30 minutes. Give us a call, 800-225-4008, and still, whatever you give in the next 30 minutes will be matched. So we could put us over that threshold of $100,000. Again, that number, 800-225-4008. Or you go to TonyPerkins.com, follow links over. All right, as I mentioned, everybody's familiar with Black Friday. There's Cyber Monday. But what about Red Wednesday? And for the past couple of years, internationally, on November the 28th, the world has taken time out of the holiday season to stop and remember the millions of persecuted Christians that are being persecuted around the world. And joining us now is Ambassador Sam Brownback, Ambassador at Large for International Religious Freedom. Ambassador, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, thanks, Tony. Good to join you again.
Well, it's good to hear your voice. As you know, the persecution of Christians and other religious minorities is widespread. According to a new report from Aid to the Church in Need, a majority of the world's population, 61%, live in countries where they face religious persecution. This is a problem, a crisis that the Trump administration is actively engaging in.
We are engaging in it. And, Tony, and this is a tough situation. That number is probably even a little low, 61%. Pew has it up over 70% facing religious persecution in one way or another. I think in the past, people have just kind of let it continue to go, and maybe they would push back once in a while. What we're doing in this administration is we're doing it both general and specific. We're doing big ministerials of foreign ministers calling for religious freedom around the world. We're going to do it regionally in countries, and they're going specifically like this president did with Andrew Brunson, saying, look, let him go or we're going to put tariffs on you. And when they didn't let him go, he put tariffs on him, and Andrew Brunson's now back in America. So it's both going broadly and specific to say to the world, we believe religious freedom is a very important issue, and we're going to stand up and fight for it.
And these international leaders are taking note. I was over in the UAE, United Arab Emirates, last month, meeting with the Crown Prince and others. And they made reference to the ministerial, which they attended, and have said they want to host a ministerial on religious freedom, religious tolerance in their country. So America really does lead by example. And when we do lead by example, others take note.
They do. And particularly, you know, Tony, one like this, where virtually every country in the world has signed on to the International Declaration, Universal Declaration of Human Rights, calling for religious freedom. And they signed up for that nearly 70 years ago. It's just governments have grown stronger over that period of time. They tend to meddle in more areas, and they're meddling more now in people's faith life. Some of them in very pernicious ways, some of them in deadly ways. And I just think we've got to stand up and hold up what is needed to do here, which is for governments to protect that right for religious freedom, and then talk about it. And this administration has really done that aggressively. And we're getting a good reception. We've got to start now seeing more action in countries where they do give more religious freedom instead of seeing reactions that are negative, or in places like Iran or China, where you've just got very, very bad situations for religious freedom, a lot of religious persecution.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Glad to have you along on this Wednesday afternoon. My guest, Ambassador Large for International Religious Freedom, Sam Brownback. In a moment, Ambassador, I want to get to what Christians in this country can do to advance religious freedom. But I want to broaden this for just a bit. It is Red Wednesday, but this administration is not focused only on Christians. Even though the Christians are the largest persecuted religious group, they're not the only one. Earlier this week, a member of the Uyghur community from China spoke at an event here in Washington of the horrendous persecution this Muslim sect is enduring at the hands of the communists. And this is something you've addressed. It's something the vice president has addressed. This administration has been focusing on religious freedom, period, regardless of what the religious affiliation might be.
That's right. And I think that's an important concept, Tony, in that we believe that everybody should be free to believe as they choose to believe, that this is a God-given right, that no government has the right to interfere with it. And we're going to protect that right for everybody, and that it's important to have it set in that type of setting so that you're not just picking one faith over another. Yeah, the Uyghurs, the situation that's taking place in Western China, where you've got up to 1 million people in a detention camp. You've got Big Brother, big data systems. You've got cameras all over monitoring people that go into mosque. This is really a bad situation that now the world is starting to focus in on. And you get then these individual stories of people coming out that I think will further heighten people's awareness and seeing this really terrible persecution that's taking place. A lot of persecution taking place in China, and it's taking place of Christians, and it's taking place of Falun Gong members. The example of the Uyghurs is probably the most aggressive. It's taking place to the Buddhist in Tibet as well.
Yeah, you talk about these detention centers. These are re-education camps where, it sounds like something back from World War II with what the Nazis were doing.
It does. And you're looking, this is China, who aspires to be leading on the world stage. And then they're doing this to one of their religious minorities, but it's not the only place that they've done that. That's why, I think it's really important to push back very publicly against China on doing this and call them on it, and that they should be held to a higher standard. They should be ones that are providing for religious freedom, and they're not doing it.
I know the president is actually meeting later this week with international leaders. Is this going to continue to be a part of his conversation with some of these countries like China's leadership? Of course, these ongoing conversations with North Korea. We've got Pakistan. We've got India. I mean, it is widespread.
It is widespread. And what I've seen this president do is to raise these issues consistently. When the Nigerian leader is here, he raises it in the press conference. With the leader of Turkey, he raise this issue of Andrew Brunson regularly with him. On North Korea, the three people that they got out initially, two of them had a strong faith belief. He consistently raises it around the world. I don't know if it's in the discussion points with China this time around. The vice president gave a big speech about China and human rights and religious freedom in particular about a month ago. So I would think it would come up. Trade has been the driving topic thus far, really, with our the confrontation with China. But it's a broader discussion than that, and I would expect, although I don't know, but that religious freedom will be part of it.
Well, Ambassador Brownback, it's easy to point to and say, well, the president should take care of this, and the president is doing it. I see this. I'm having the conversations. I had a conversation with one of his advisors yesterday on religious freedom with and these are ongoing conversations. They're actively engaged in this, but we need to do things. Christians across this country, pastors can be engaged. What can the American citizen do, the average mom, dad, church member? What can we do to help elevate the plight of the persecuted around the world?
You know, I think the first thing is to become aware, and I urge people to just pick a place that you're interested in. And become aware. A lot of churches can invite people from that country to come and speak at their church. That's like this Uyghur woman that's in the United States. There are a number of Uyghurs in the United States. There are a number of people that have been persecuted for their faith that are here. And get invite them to your church or community to speak. Speak out to your congressional delegation. The Congress has been one of the leading forces on religious freedom. And I think it's because they hear from people back home that say, you know, this is an important thing, and I want you to be out there. I want you to be pushing on this. I just saw Senator Roger Wicker earlier today, and he said, let me know how I can help you. Well, my guess is this is something important to Senator Wicker, but I'll bet he's also hearing about it from people back home. Those are all important things, I think, that people can and should be doing. And unfortunately, there's just plenty of situations around the world that they can raise. Get aware,
right?
Raise it in your community, raise it with people around you, and with your congressional delegation.
Well, Ambassador Brownback, as always, great to have you on the program. But appreciate what you're doing in being at the tip of the spear of this administration's efforts to raise not only awareness but actually bring hope and help to the persecuted around the globe. Thanks so much for being with us.
You bet. Thanks, Tony. God bless you all.
All right, Ambassador Sam Brownback, Ambassador at Large for International Religious Freedom. Adopt a country. Pray for that country. Adopt an individual that you can pray for. But we need to be aware and engaged, because if we don't make it a priority, our elected officials will not make it a priority. All right, coming up next, a proposed prison reform bill would increase spending on prisoner job training, create rehabilitation programs, and it was sailing through Congress until it got to the Senate. Senator Tom Cotton is here next to explain what happened. Don't go away. Tony Perkins here, president of the Family Research Council, inviting you to join Luana and me, General Jerry Boykin, Michelle Bachman, on FRC's first ever D.C. Christian Heritage Tour and Summit in Washington, D.C. on March the 28th through the 31st, 2019. Washington is the epicenter of American politics and the free world. It's also a place that will inspire your faith and your patriotism. With the five-star Trump International Hotel as home base, your experience will include a tour and dinner at the Museum of the Bible, a private tour of the Capitol, dinner on Capitol Hill, renowned monuments, briefings from national leaders, and, pending approval, a White House briefing. Journey with us as we explore God's providence in America's past, His hand in the present, and His heart for America's future. For more information, visit frc.org/DC Heritage. Again, that's frc.org/DC Heritage for more information about the Christian Heritage Tour and Summit.
Should people be allowed to question their feelings? If a person expresses feelings of same-sex attraction, shouldn't they be allowed to seek professional help if they don't want these feelings? In a country such as ours, the answer should be a no-brainer. Incredibly, some liberal states have banned sexual orientation change efforts, known as SOCE, claiming that they are fraudulent, ineffective, and harmful. But are they? LGBT activists claim that sexual orientation is immutable and can't be changed by therapy or counseling. They also claim that people who attempt to change their sexual orientation end up more depressed and suicidal. As it turns out, studies have shown that sexual orientation change efforts are in fact very effective in helping people overcome unwanted same-sex attractions. For a thorough analysis of all the major studies done on the effectiveness of SOCE, visit frc.org/SOCE. Again, that's frc.org/SOCE.
Are you ready to take a stand? Now you can with FRC's new Stand Firm mobile app, which allows you to stay engaged and informed on the most important issues facing our country. The unique features of the app allow you to contact your congressman on issues of faith, family, and freedom with just a tap of the screen. Listen to Washington Watch Live with Tony Perkins, and much more. Join Christians across America as we stand firm together. Visit frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today.
Planned Parenthood is the nation's leading abortion supplier and has hailed itself as the champion of women for decades. But nothing could be further from the truth. Sadly, this organization has been caught repeatedly violating the law and violating women, from aiding and abetting sex traffickers, covering up child sexual abuse, and selling the remains of aborted baby parts, to ignoring the disastrous effects that abortion has on women's physical and mental health. For more information on how Planned Parenthood is not pro-woman, visit frc.org/Planned Parenthood.
This is Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. Let me just one more time remind you of inform you of the results of Giving Tuesday. We had a $100,000 matching grant that was given, and when I walked into the studio today, $96,000 had been matched. That leaves just $4,000 more to meet our goal, to make sure that this program and the other work that the Family Research Council does to advance faith, family, and freedom continues. So you can, if you'd like to make a pledge, go to call 800-225-4008. In the next 15, 20 minutes, 800-225-4008. All right, the First Step Act began in the House as a prison reform bill, passing with broad support, 360-59. But in the Senate, it has been amended to include controversial sentencing reform that could, it could kill the bill. Joining us now is Senator Tom Cotton of Arkansas, who has expressed concern about the latest version of the bill. Senator, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony, it's good to be back on with you, and thanks for that introduction. Unfortunately, Tony, you're a little too kind to what's happened to this bill in the Senate. I would not call it sentencing reform. I'd call it sentencing leniency or criminal leniency. As you say, the First Step Act started in the House primarily as an effort to help rehabilitate prisoners, to help them get back on their feet once they have paid their debt to society so they will not be a menace to society.
Right, that which is a good thing.
Absolutely a good thing, Tony. It's something that I think almost every American understands we need to address. Recidivism rates are too high. You know, there's remarkable success stories. I have folks back home who I know who have been able to turn their lives around. You know, they were born into tough circumstances. They made some wrong decisions. They got a GED in jail. They found God. There's lots of opportunities to try to improve on our ability to get prisoners back on their feet when they leave prison. So that's after they pay their debt to society, Tony. This bill in the Senate now would cut mandatory minimums for repeat drug traffickers, sometimes cut them by as many as half, and it would give early release to hundreds of serious felons. And those, I mean, some categories here we're talking about, Tony, are sex offenders or child or spouse abusers, people who cause violence, injury to others in the course of their crimes. The bill has taken a turn for the worse. That's why we should hit pause in the Senate and go back to focusing in the new year on what started as a relatively non-controversial proposition, which is trying to help prisoners turn their lives around when they pay their debt to societies and they leave prison.
Yeah, and I was all for that. In fact, I had signed on to that. My first assignment in law enforcement was actually working at a prison before I went out on the road. And look, I've seen the effects of prison, and it's not good. And I think we do need to reform our prison system. In fact, I authored legislation back in Louisiana to bring the faith community more involved to help that transition back into society. So I'm all for that. But again, as a law enforcement officer, I'm very concerned about leniency on criminals who are a threat to society. I think there's a role for mercy and justice, but it's mercy. But it's when you've paid your debt to society and you're back on the right track.
Yeah, and that's especially true, Tony, in the federal prison system. You know, we have now only about 180,000 people in federal prison. That's declined by over 40,000 in the last 10 years, thanks to some other sentencing reforms and the Obama administration policies. I mean, there are virtually no low-level, nonviolence first-time offenders in federal prison, as the bill's proponents often like to cite. Many more prisoners in state prison. I'm willing to grant some states, you know, take an approach to criminal justice that I might not. But if you're in the federal prison system, you've committed some pretty serious crimes, and you should pay your debt to society. By all means, we should help people get a GED or get job training, go through counseling. I mean, frankly, I think that the main reason why people turn their lives around in prison is they find God. Yeah. And we need to help get ministers into prison and be open to faith-based organizations so prisoners can not just change their habits but change their heart. And that's where this initiative started, you know, back a couple of years ago. Unfortunately, like I said, it's moved in the direction of criminal leniency, which I think is dangerous for our communities and our families, but also is very divisive within our Congress for good reason, because it's unpopular with the American people.
Well, also, I mean, as you said, this started out almost 2 years ago, the First Step Act, a lot of conversations about this, hearings about it. All of a sudden, it gets over to the Senate, and it becomes a whole new bill that in this lame duck session of Congress being rushed through. That in itself is a problem. And there's a process problem here beyond just the substance of the bill itself.
It is. And you know, the different parts of the bill that have been cobbled together interact in some very dangerous ways. I'll just give you one very concrete and I think shocking example, Tony. Today, if you are arrested for a second time as for drug dealing with 400 grams of fentanyl, and to give you a sense of how dangerous that is, it's enough to kill 50,000 people, to kill the entire population of the city of Conway, Arkansas. You'll get 20 years as a mandatory minimum. You might be able to get out in about 18 years, Tony, if you are on your best behavior in prison and you go through drug treatment, but 18 years. Under this bill, because they'd cut mandatory minimums for second-time serious offenders from 20 to 15, you start out at 15, and then on the back end, from the new time credit system they would set up, you could cut another third of your sentence off, and then you still get those initial 2 years off. So you go from 18 years down to as few as 8 years for carrying enough drugs to kill 50,000 citizens while we're in the middle of a heroin and opioid epidemic in this country.
Wow, that's significant. Senator, we're out of time, but very quickly, what do people need to do at this moment to weigh in on
this? They should call their senators and they should say prison reform and redemption, yes. Sentencing leniency, no.
All right, we got it. Senator Tom Cotton, thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate you focusing in on this important issue.
Thank you, Tony. Good to talk to you.
All right, Senator Tom Cotton of Arkansas, that's the First Step Act. As he said, prison reform, yes, absolutely, absolutely. But the sentence leniency, not a good idea. All right, when we come back, tax reform 2.0. Jody Heiss, congressman, joins us. Don't go away.
Don't go away.
Tony Perkins here, president of the Family Research Council, inviting you to join Luana and me, General Jerry Boykin, Michelle Bachman, on FRC's first ever D.C. Christian Heritage Tour and Summit in Washington, D.C. on March the 28th through the 31st, 2019. Washington is the epicenter of American politics and the free world. It's also a place that will inspire your faith and your patriotism. With the five-star Trump International Hotel as home base, your experience will include a tour and dinner at the Museum of the Bible, a private tour of the Capitol, dinner on Capitol Hill, renowned monuments, briefings from national leaders, and, pending approval, a White House briefing. Journey with us as we explore God's providence in America's past, His hand in the present, and His heart for America's future. For more information, visit frc.org/DC Heritage. Again, that's frc.org/DC Heritage for more information about the Christian Heritage Tour and Summit.
Is Planned Parenthood a champion for women? In reality, Planned Parenthood is the nation's leading killer of unborn children. Despite this, they have been hailing themselves as the voice of women for decades. But nothing could be further from the truth. Sadly, this organization has been caught repeatedly violating the law and violating women, from aiding and abetting sex traffickers, covering up child sexual abuse, and selling the remains of aborted baby parts, to ignoring the disastrous effects that abortion has on women's physical and mental health. From its racist eugenic roots to the targeting of vulnerable communities today, their scandals continue to pile up. Planned Parenthood's current motto is care, no matter what. A more fitting motto would be profit, no matter what. For more information on how Planned Parenthood is not pro-woman, visit frc.org/Planned Parenthood. Again, that's frc.org/Planned Parenthood.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website is tonyperkins.com. The phone number, if you'd like to make that commitment to the match that is still out there, just through the day, this is it. This is it. Last time I'm going to mention it, 800-225-4008. At the top of the show, we were just $4,000 short of meeting the $100,000 match. If you'd like to join that and have your contribution doubled, call 800-225-4008. All right, the lame duck session is, well, it's limping along right here in Washington, D.C. And one of the issues that the House is taking up is what some have labeled tax reform 2.0. It is a hodgepodge of things. But one of the issues is, well, there's actually a couple of issues. One is to fix a problem with the first bill that ended up inadvertently placing a tax on nonprofits and churches in regards to transportation, parking. Pretty significant, amounts to millions of dollars those nonprofits would have to pay. But there's also still lingering out there a formal repeal of the Johnson Amendment. Will this Congress, in this lame duck, do something of substance before they hand over the gavel to Nancy Pelosi? Joining me now to discuss this, Congressman Jody Heiss. He represents the 10th Congressional District of Georgia. He also serves on the House Armed Services Committee and House Oversight and Government Reforms Committee, and was one of the leading sponsors of the Johnson Amendment repeal bill. Jody, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thanks, Tony. Always great to be on with you.
All right, so are we going to get some of these issues fixed? For instance, this, explain to our listeners kind of what this, what's referred, some of Richard's referred to as the parking tax that are, has been placed on churches.
Right, this is essentially one of those unintended consequences, I think it's probably fair to say, that was placed in the tax reform bill of last year. And basically, it creates a potential income tax liability for churches relating to parking lots. So parking lots, as we know, are a premium, particularly in urban areas. And so it would require institutions, nonprofits, to file a federal form 990T that in the first place would make these churches and nonprofits start filing a tax form every year, which they've never done in American history, and potentially actually have to pay taxes. And so we've been hot to trot to get this thing removed, and Vicky Harsler from Missouri has put forth a bill to repeal this section of the tax code. We've had multiple meetings today. In fact, as soon as I get off the phone with you, I'm scheduled to go to another meeting in this regard. But I think we're going to be able to get this resolved. Tony, I really am feeling very positive about this, that this particular language is going to be taken out, and nonprofits, including churches, are going to be free from this thing. But, you know, you still never know what the Senate is going to do. As you mentioned, a lame duck session, anything can happen. So we certainly are keeping a pulse on it. We're keeping an eye on it. We're heavily engaged in meetings. But I'm really feeling pretty positive about this one, that we're going to win.
Well, let's talk then about the Johnson Amendment. That's kind of the discussion about that, not from your perspective, but from overall in Congress. Not much has been said about that, but that still remains an issue. Now, the president, by executive order, has limited the application of it, but it's still in the law and has to be repealed if the muzzle is to be taken off of churches and other nonprofits.
Yeah, and this is probably the number one major issue for me personally, that I'm fighting with everything I've got to repeal the Johnson Amendment. This has a negative, chilling effect on churches all across our country, and it is absolutely unnecessary, and it's frightening to think that our government, our federal government, can literally censor what can and cannot be said in churches across our country and penalize them if they cross some nebulous line that the government deems unacceptable. And so we are, as you mentioned, the president has an executive order. We've been pushing to repeal the Johnson Amendment, the Free Speech Fairness Act. We did get it passed once in the House. The Senate was unable to do anything with it. So we are circling back around here in this lame duck session to yet again try to pass it again in the House, and this time hopefully have different results in the Senate. So again, meetings and phone calls all day today, literally on that. I'll be in a meeting tomorrow with the new head of the IRS, and that's one of the questions that I'll be presenting him. We've got to deal with this Johnson Amendment. It is a direct violation of our First Amendment and has a chilling effect overall on religious liberties.
That it does. It does. Congressman Jody Heiss, I know you got to run to a meeting. Thanks so much for stopping
Thank
in
you,
and
Tony.
Giving us an update. Take care. Congressman Jody Heiss of Georgia. Go to the website, TonyPerkins.com, and follow the links over. Let me just mention, I know we pushed this yesterday, talked about it, the election in Mississippi. Record turnout in a runoff election there. Yesterday, many were saying nobody's going to show up. Well, they showed up, and the Republican Cindy Hyde-Smith won. Looks like she's 7 to 8 percentage point. They're still counting some of the votes, but folks turned out, and that's good. That's good. Our system only works when people participate. I hope you are one of those who participates every time you have an opportunity, and you have an opportunity next when we come back. We'll be taking your phone calls here on Washington Watch. Don't go away.
Do you feel out of touch with what's going on in our nation's capital? Do you want to make a difference? Now you can. Family Research Council's Stand Firm mobile app is a new tool that is bringing Christians across America together and advancing faith, family, and freedom. The unique features of the app allow you to contact your congressman on important issues with just a tap of the screen, sign up to organize culture impact teams in churches across the country, and share the latest legislative alerts with family and friends. You can also listen to Washington Watch Live with Tony Perkins or read the Daily Washington Update to stay engaged and informed on issues facing our country. Join now in building a network of activists as we stand firm together for His kingdom. Go to frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today. Again, that's frc.org/app.
Tony Perkins here, president of the Family Research Council, inviting you to join Luana and me, General Jerry Boykin, Michelle Bachman, on FRC's first ever D.C. Christian Heritage Tour and Summit in Washington, D.C. on March the 28th through the 31st, 2019. Washington is the epicenter of American politics and the free world. It's also a place that will inspire your faith and your patriotism. With the five-star Trump International Hotel as home base, your experience will include a tour and dinner at the Museum of the Bible, a private tour of the Capitol, dinner on Capitol Hill, renowned monuments, briefings from national leaders, and, pending approval, a White House briefing. Journey with us as we explore God's providence in America's past, His hand in the present, and His heart for America's future. For more information, visit frc.org/DC Heritage. Again, that's frc.org/DC Heritage for more information about the Christian Heritage Tour and Summit.
Planned Parenthood is the nation's leading abortion supplier and has hailed itself as the champion of women for decades. But nothing could be further from the truth. Sadly, this organization has been caught repeatedly violating the law and violating women, from aiding and abetting sex traffickers, covering up child sexual abuse, and selling the remains of aborted baby parts, to ignoring the disastrous effects that abortion has on women's physical and mental health. For more information on how Planned Parenthood is not pro-woman, visit frc.org/Planned Parenthood.
Should people be allowed to question their feelings? If a person expresses feelings of same-sex attraction, shouldn't they be allowed to seek professional help if they don't want these feelings? In a country such as ours, the answer to these questions should be a no-brainer. Incredibly, some liberal states have banned sexual orientation change efforts, claiming they are ineffective and harmful. But are they? Studies have shown that sexual orientation change efforts are very effective in helping people overcome unwanted same-sex attractions. To find out more, visit frc.org/SOCD.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins, your host. Website, TonyPerkins.com. And thanks, I want to thank those who have called in to be a part of helping us reach our goal of $100,000 to be matched with $100,000. And about a dozen of you have called in. Thank you for being a part of the Family Research Council and of this program. Okay, here's what I want to do. What's the top issue? We've been talking, you know, the lame duck session, what's going on, the prison reform, talking about the tax reform. What's the number one issue, the top issue you would like to see Republicans at least attempt to do in this lame duck session of Congress before they hand Nancy Pelosi the keys to the Capitol? What would you like to see them do, or at least attempt to do? I know there's only so much they can do, but what would you at least like to see them do? This is kind of one of those brainstorming sessions. What's at the top of your list? 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. I will say this, and I think I did say it already, but I'll say it again. The Republicans, you know, they just don't have the fight that the Democrats do. I remember when the Democrats lost control of the House back in 2009, 2010, and they had a lame duck session of Congress. Went all the way up to, if I'm not mistaken, Christmas Eve to get everything they could through the process before the Republicans took over. They don't hold back. The Republicans were ready to leave at the end of this week, well, end of next week. I think it was the 7th, but I think they're going to be staying around another week. But what would you like to see them do? What would be at the top of your list? 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. Weigh in. I know that it might not be possible, but this is kind of one of those sessions where you just kind of throw everything out there, put it on the whiteboard. It's good for them to know what is on the minds of voters across this country, what is priority to the values voters. And I know a lot of them listen to the program as well. So I think it's good. 866-372-7234. Phone calls are coming in as we're screening those calls to get what is on your mind in terms of top of the list for you in this lame duck session of Congress. I would like to see, I think the Johnson Amendment would be good. It'd be a good start, but there's more that could be done. Okay, we ready to go to the phone lines? Let's go to Patrick in Louisiana. Patrick, welcome to Washington Watch. Patrick, you there?
Hello, Tony. Thank you for your service. Yes, sir.
Well, go right ahead. What's at the top of your list?
First of all, thank you for your service, Tony. I really appreciate you.
Well, thank you, Patrick.
At the top of my list, I'm sorry. You're welcome. Listen, time to defund Planned Parenthood. Abortion is murder, period. We need to take that money and put it into starting to secure our borders. That's it.
Patrick, I think many, many share that desire. I'd like to see that defunded. And I think we need to continually raise that issue. It's egregious that an organization like Planned Parenthood that is under investigation for the trafficking in human baby body parts, that is putting into our schools through sex ed programs material that is pornographic, that is promoting this sexual confusion, gender confusion with our tax, with your tax dollars. And they're still getting them. Total over $500 million a year in tax money. Unfortunately, the appropriations bill, which has the lion's share of Planned Parenthood funding, was approved before the election, and that's already gone through, so it's not even on the table. But it's something that the Republicans should continue to hammer away at. And quite frankly, the only way that's going to happen is if you continue to raise that issue. So, Patrick, thank you for bringing it up. Let's go to David in Kansas City. David, welcome to Washington Watch.
I agree with your first caller. Absolutely agree with him. Secondly, I would like to see him defund NPR, National Public Radio, which is a voice for the DNC, the Democratic National Committee, and as well as PBS. It's liberal in its standings, and I should not have to fund it. I'm going to hang
Agreed.
Up. Thank you.
Agreed, David. I mean, you think about it. Maybe there was a time when the funding of National Public Radio was necessary. But, I mean, there are so many options out there and so many platforms that people can create their own radio program, can create their own network. I mean, we see it happening all the time in the private sector. Why should the government be in the process of picking winners and losers? And quite frankly, as David pointed out, funding people who have a left-leaning view with our tax dollars. I agree 100%. In fact, this is the encouraging thing about the Trump administration in their budgets, as they submitted, basically zeroed out a lot of the endowment for the arts and public broadcasting. But Congress, put it into their budget. So keep bringing these issues up. That's how the left succeeds. They never win the first time around, but they never give up. They keep coming back. So I think, we're right to continually bring up those issues as well. Let's go to Pam in Iowa. Pam, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi. I would like to see the border secure once and for all.
Well, the president certainly leading out of that, in fact, threatening to veto the funding measure for Homeland Security if it does not include border security. I think it's the first step. I think we've got to secure the border. That is, in fact, the first step. Then we have to have comprehensive immigration reform. It's got to happen.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I think the Republicans need to step up and be strong about it. And like you said, not be so weak.
Yeah. I think they should take their lead from the president. I mean, I know a lot of people don't think, you know, he ruffles feathers and he's a little, they think he's abrasive. But look, he gets things done. We've got to get things done.
Yeah, and I don't agree with everything he does, but you know what? He's the president, and I wouldn't want to be president right now and having to deal with everything that he's having to deal with.
Yeah. So, that is a very good point.
Thank you very much thank you for all the work that you do.
Well, thank you, Pam. Appreciate you calling in. And, you know, folks, that's a good reminder. Pam talked about all the things the president has on his plate. To pray for those in authority, not just the president, but pray for members of Congress and not just those of your own party. Pray for all of them. Pray for them. Pray for your governors. Pray for your mayors. Pray for your city council members, your state legislators. Like, it is a tough job, and in an increasingly divided culture and country, it's even more difficult. And they're people, you know, they're people too. They have the same issues. They got to pay the same bills, got children to raise, but yet they're volunteering. And I'm even talking about those I disagree with. They're taking on, a shared responsibility to, in most cases, work for better communities, a better country. Again, I don't agree with all of them, but I still appreciate the vast majority who are serving for the right reason. And so pray for them. Let's go to Jeff in Oklahoma. Jeff, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi there. How are you doing?
I'm fine. How are you today?
I'm great. I think you kind of pose this question at this time of year. It's kind of like a Christmas wish list. You know?
That's right. That's right. I'm not Santa Claus, really, but you can send me your list.
Exactly. You know, and if I had my way with Congress and I could lobby them with any stroke at all, I would say, guys, let's reinstate the draft. You know, let's. I know it's radical, and it seems radical, but every country has mandatory service in their armed forces. And I think that our country has just went left crazy ever since we lost the draft. And it just – it's done something to our men. There's something that they're missing. Even – I talked to even handicapped people who wish that they would be allowed to serve in uniform and serve their country. You know, there was a time – in World War II, when guys were labeled 4F, they couldn't serve. They'd commit suicide. That's how much pride there was, you know. But our colleges are nothing more than liberal Democrat generators. You know, that's all they are. They, you know, statistics, 85% of all college students who consider themselves, I don't know if it's evangelical Christians, but, you know, church-going, tithe-paying Christians, 85% will graduate atheists. Now, I think that's horrible. You know, and how are we supposed to combat that? You know, we're going to lose our country.
Very interesting concept. Let me ask you a couple of questions.
It is just out there.
Well, I mean, that's fine, and that's what I said here. I mean, look, anything goes here. We're just throwing it up on the wall here. I actually agree. Well, first, let me ask you this question before I go into it. Now, you understand that as our military is currently constructed in some things that have actually been in the process of the last couple of years going into the last administration, that a draft would most likely include not just men but women as well. So our daughters would be drafted as well.
I know. I'm conscious of that. Not a big fan of it. I have my own theory about how women and men should serve together in the armed forces. It's probably too long for your show, but it's one of those things. I do not think that we should send our daughters into combat to come back missing arms and legs and the ultimate sacrifice. You know, we're the hunter gatherers. We're the protectors. I just don't see us sending our daughters into to do that. Even though they, God bless them, they want to serve. They want to do their part. But sometimes I wonder if it's not the feminist in their ear pushing them to do something they really don't want to do. I believe that women have had an invaluable part in our armed services. I'm not a big fan of them in combat. I don't think they're a detriment to our service by any stretch. I just, you know, it's the, is the father in me that doesn't.
No, I agree. I agree. I agree 100% with you, Jeff.
You know, even on this draft thing, you know, even if it doesn't have to be anything, you know, we're not trying to make special ops snake eaters out of everyone. You know, they could just serve, you know, if the mandatory service was like, say, 4 years in the National Guard, 4 years in the reserves, something like that, you know, you get trained, deployable, and then you get out. And mm-hmm. and then if you could be called up later, you know, you're trained and you're a member of the armed services forever, as far as I'm concerned. You know, the Marines, you know, they all have a saying, you know, there's many are born, but few are made, you know.
Well, and once a Marine, always a Marine. I know that well. Jeff, thanks so much for the call. Appreciate it. You know, it is interesting. You know, like, for instance, in Israel, everybody serves. Everybody has an obligation, male, female. And it's a short period, and then you're in the reserves. You go, I think it's, you know, if it's 6 months or a year, it's a short period. It's not a long period of time. But you go in, some stay. But you have a reserve obligation. It's much different. They don't have an expeditionary force. They don't send them out around the world. They just protect the homeland. I personally am a big advocate of military service. I don't know. I do think that military service instills a greater sense of pride, respect, and love for the country. I'm not saying you can't have it without it, but I do think that it's good. From that standpoint. Now, I do know that our military, all-volunteer force since we've had since post-Vietnam, is a much higher educated, motivated, and disciplined military. That was, you know, that's in spite of the social experimentation that Obama did with the military. But should we go back to a draft? I don't know. Certainly something to ponder. Could it help us out in terms of building a greater esprit de corps for the nation? It could. Everybody has skin in the game. It's interesting. A lot of the liberals that create the policies for our military never serve. I mean, there's a small percentage of Americans who actually serve in our nation's military, and disproportionately they're conservative. They're from the South. They're religious in their orientation. Because they're the ones who are willing to serve and give of themselves to others. Interesting concept. All right, we may continue this tomorrow night, just to kind of, because the phone lines are lit up and we're out of time, so I apologize to those who have been holding. But we'll return to this tomorrow night and kind of get your thoughts on what you would like to see in this remaining GOP-led Congress. What would you like to see them do? All right, until next time, I leave you with this. The encouraging words of the Apostle Paul. You can find them in Ephesians chapter 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you've taken your stand, well, just keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.